Well, good evening. It's good to see the good number that we have with us tonight. Some have traveled a long distances, and Jesse and his family gets the star tonight for traveling the farthest, not necessarily to the meeting, but had a dual purpose for the meeting and his mother, and that's great. It's good when you can, he used to say, kill two birds with one stone, and these are both pretty nice birds. Good to have you with us. Good to see the Burks here tonight. A lot of prayers have been offered on both of their behalfs, especially Brother Burke and some of the operations that he's had and pretty serious matters that he was dealing with. And then they both got COVID, and they've both recovered from that, and so we're thankful for that. Nick, it's good to see you with us tonight, and we're just thankful for everyone. Keenan with us from up north, and we're thankful for everyone here tonight. This week, we've been working off of the last paragraph of Luke chapter 10, where we find that Jesus has went to the house of Martha and Mary. And Martha was distracted by much serving. She was distracted with her hostess duties, I guess we might say, and seemed to be overwhelming for her. And so she asked Jesus to tell Mary to help her. And Jesus responded to that request by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has sought that good part that will not be taken from her." Are we okay? When you get somebody coming in, is the mic working? Tim, everything okay?
No sound?
No.
Is your mic on?
I thought I turned it on.
Yeah.
It's green.
I'm not sure why it's not working.
Did we social distance in the back enough to everybody come in? I thought that might have been, when I saw Tim coming in, I thought, well, we've got some kind of a problem. We might not be broadcasting on FM 103 or something.
Should be working. Pull it a little bit closer to your mouth. I don't know if that would make a difference.
Hold this closer to my mouth?
Or just, can you fold it?
No.
Man, you need a new microphone if this isn't working. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many people are out there?
I know. All right, let's try and change the batteries. We'll see if that'll do it. There you go, look at it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Did they have this problem in the first century? This might be unscriptural because it's not in the scriptures, is it?
Well, we haven't done anything different in the past few days and it seemed to work just fine.
Can you hear me now? 1, 2, 3. Seems like I can hear me now. Huh? Yeah. That's what it was. Battery's low. A green light doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't tell you the truth all the time. All right. Does it still have to be this close to my mouth? I said, man, if that's not close enough, we're in trouble. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part that will not be taken from her. We focused on that fact that one thing is needed. We have went through a year and are still going through, and I believe in the near future are going to continue to go through things that we are going to be troubled about. We are going to be distracted. We have been distracted. We are going to be distracted. And in spite of current events, We all go through times in our life when it's easy to get distracted with the cares of life. It's easy for us to forget that one thing is needed. And so many times we let the one thing that is needed slip, take a back burner, fall someplace down our top 10 list rather than at the very top of the list and erase the rest of the list. Tonight, I've entitled the lesson tonight, Certainties in Uncertain Times. We went through a year of uncertain times. What's going to happen? I think we're still going through that. We've been told to follow the science. How many times has the science changed in the last year? Now, that's just a politically correct term to frighten you and to control you. And you need to be awake to that. You need to be aware of what is going on in this country right now, and actually throughout the world. But we're going to use Paul as an example of someone who lived in uncertain times. And there were, of course, many times in his life that it seemed to be an uncertain situation. But in the midst of all of that, he was certain. In the midst of all of his uncertainty. You're very familiar with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, where he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the context here, he was talking about financially. He's learned to live in times of plenty and times of very little. But he had learned to live through all of that and to be strong in Christ. But I'm sure that he also would apply that statement to other situations in his life as well. I can do all things through Christ. You and I need to realize that you and I can do all things through Christ. It's through Christ that we get the strength to do all things when it seems like we're up against insurmountable odds. I want you to remember the God we serve, who Christ is. Is there anything Christ cannot do? Is there anything God cannot do? Is there anything impossible with God? Shake your head this way. No. Nothing is impossible with God. With our focus on Christ, we can do all things. If our focus is on us and what we have the ability to do, then we're probably going to have reason to doubt. But if our focus is on Christ and God, then we indeed can do all things. I want you to remember Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11 through 12, where God is calling Moses to go back to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Moses responds and says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I'm a fugitive from Egypt. I've been gone for 40 years. A lot of people have forgotten me and any influence that I ever had, I don't have anymore. Who am I that I should go and tell Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, to let the Israelites go? Now look at God's response. God said, I will certainly be with you. Not, I might go along or I'll be there if you need me. No, I will certainly be there with you. Moses, you're looking at the wrong person. You need to be looking to me. And Paul realized that when he said, I can do all things through Christ. He didn't say, I can do all things, and I'll call upon Christ when I need Him. No, it's, I need Christ at all times, and He's always with me. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Joshua is being given the leadership to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the promised land. Big job. But God says, it's not all on you, Joshua. I'm going to be with you. Matthew 28 and verse 20, as Jesus is about to ascend back to His Father, He tells the apostles to go into all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The apostles are interesting men to study. It's interesting to see their faith grow, and it's interesting to see how much their faith needed to grow, even as Jesus was about to depart. There's a lot of things they still didn't understand, and there was a lot of things that Jesus hadn't taught them yet, that He said that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that I have taught you, and will also reveal all truth to you. But here on this situation, if you can imagine, you're one of the apostles and you know what you're lacking. And Jesus has been carrying the ball for you and He's leaving. You've got to have some concerns, don't you? Things from your perspective, from their perspective, look kind of uncertain. Jesus said, I might be leaving, but I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And I will be with my people until the end of the age. The Hebrew writer brought this out in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where he reminds us, He Himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you appreciate that? That what the Hebrew writer is saying to us here is exactly what he said to Moses. It's exactly what he said to Joshua. It's exactly what he said to the apostles. And now he's saying it to all faithful Christians. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter who is against me, no matter how overwhelming the odds might be, I can be faithful to God. I can revere Him and keep His commandments and honor Him and glorify Him by so doing. Of course, you realize and I realize that there are many other Old Testament examples and even New Testament examples that we could present, but we want to move on and realize that we can do all things through Christ with my commitment to Christ. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says to the church at Philippi, the things you learned from me, received from me, heard from me, saw in me, these do. You do what I did. You follow the example of what I've left you with. And if you do that, he says, the God of peace will be with you. There's a lot of attributes of God that Paul could have brought up here, couldn't he? Why did he say the God of peace? The God of peace will be with you. Because the brethren at Philippi were not at peace. They were troubled about many things. They were troubled about the political situation. They were troubled about the persecution against the church. They were troubled about Paul being in prison in Rome and the possibility that that could happen to them. They were troubled about many things. Paul, in essence, is saying here, one thing is needed. Remember what I taught you? Remember what you heard from me? Remember what you learned from me? Remember what you saw in me? You just stay focused on that. You do that, and the God of peace will be with you. Everything else will be all right. Second John, verse 6 says, "This is love, that we walk according to His commandments." One thing is needed. Walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Must be the one thing that is needed. Keep His commandments. The good way that Mary chose that would not be taken from her. In Joshua chapter 1, we noticed verse 5 a little bit ago. I want to notice it again and then drop down to verse 7, where God says to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous." I'm going to be with you, but you need to be strong. You need to be confident. And you need to be strong in your faith in me. You need to be strong and very courageous. Why? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That principle has always been the same. Whether you were talking about Adam and Eve in the garden, or anyone thereafter, that God gives a commandment that we are to continue in it just as He gives it to us. Don't change it. Don't turn from it. When God specifies, we're not at liberty to generalize, to alter it. We need to be strong and courageous. God is with us if we do according to all the law that He gives us. Verse 8, He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." We've talked about this before this week, how that we know faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Any faith comes by hearing. But the faith that saves comes by hearing the Word of God. But hearing the Word of God is not faith. Believing the Word of God is not faith. Saying, "I believe that's true," that won't save you. The demons believe and tremble, because they know they don't obey Him. They don't have any intention to obey Him. They know what's waiting for them. Hearing isn't faith. Believing isn't faith. Acknowledging that what you hear is true is not faith. Faith is full grown when you do according to all that is written. Faith is faith when it, James says, when it works. Because faith without works is dead. It's not going to do you any good. For then, he says to Joshua, when you do according to the law, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Same principle applies today. When we trust Him and do His will, we will make our way prosperous. We will have good success. Verse 9, notice He says, have I not commanded you, God says? I can do all things through Christ. Here, Joshua is being told, you can do all things through God. I commanded you, you be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God. Who is He? He is Almighty God. Why does He call Himself Almighty God? You ever thought about that? There's a reason for it. And it's rather obvious, really, when you think about it. Is there any weakness at all in God? No, He is Almighty. Nothing is impossible with Him. Know who you're trusting and know what He's capable of. Jesus said, if it needs to be to put a mountain in the seaside, He says, we'll do it. I don't know if that will ever come up. I think that was an exaggeration of whatever need you might need. But He says, nothing's impossible. Don't forget who I am and don't forget what I can do. I speak things into existence. I say the word and it's so, and by my word it stays. We need to be committed to Christ if we're going to do all things through Him. Another certainty that we can have is that we have a perfect Savior. Somebody tonight said, my mask was perfect. I said, well, you got to like perfect. It's one of my favorite sayings. You got to like perfect. We have a perfect Savior. Colossians 3 and verse 24 says it this way, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Our inheritance is certain because of the one who gives us the inheritance, the Lord Christ. From the Lord we will receive the reward. Now, you'll notice that I put knowing in bold there because it stands out from the way people talk today. And you might just do this as you're reading the Bible. Whenever you come across the word know or knowing, just pause for a second and say, wait a minute, should I emphasize that? And 90% of the time, you're going to say, yeah, I should be emphasizing that, because that's not the way people talk today. People talk like, well, I think, or I feel Jesus is my Savior and He's going to take care of me, and I'm pretty sure that's not the way the Holy Spirit inspired the men who wrote the New Testament to write. They wrote with confidence and assuredness because that's the God that we serve. There's no doubting in God. In fact, when we doubt Him, that's when we are sure to fail. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. In spite of suffering, Paul remained focused on Christ. Did Paul suffer in his life? Shake your heads this way. Yeah. Do you think there was any uncertainty in Paul in the midst of those sufferings? Well, maybe a little bit from time to time. But he learned to be certain and to have confidence in those times as well. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 33, speaking of false teachers that were at Corinth, he said, "Are they ministers of Christ?" They claimed to be, didn't they? They claimed to be ministers. They claimed to be speaking on behalf of Christ. They claimed that they were great servants of Christ and had suffered much for Christ. By their standards, he says, well, let's compare me. We're going to enter into a little bit of foolishness here. Paul was not one to brag or to be puffed up about anything, but he says, if what they are saying is a standard by which you can determine whether they are a minister or not, well, let's look at me. If they're a minister, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. Had any of them had ever been in prison or beaten or... No. In deaths, often. Had it ever appeared that Paul was dead? Yeah, he'd been stoned and left for dead. Had any of these guys? No. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. You think there was any concern in Paul when he was shipwrecked? Would you have been? A night and a day I have been in the deep. That's a long time to be treading water or hanging onto a board. In journeys, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often. Not once in a while. Often. In hunger and thirst, in fastings, often. In cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. And that's an interesting statement for Paul to make. Turn with me, if you will, over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I believe here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30, he's sharing with them something that he had learned from God. You remember that Paul... here in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 12, isn't it? Where he talks about he has a thorn in the flesh. Trying to get my Bible to work here. Yeah. He talks about the fact that he, in verse 7, I have a thorn in the flesh. And a lot of people speculated about what that thorn was. Doesn't matter what it was. It was some kind of a physical problem. That he looked at it as it was hindering from him from being as powerful in presenting the gospel as what he could have been. Maybe, you know, prevented him from being as active as he wanted to be. We're not really sure. But it was a serious matter, and he besought the Lord 3 times in prayer that it would be taken away from him. It wasn't taken away. And finally, the Lord spoke to him. Verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. And I imagine that Paul just kind of melted right there. Yeah, I'm the guy that persecuted Christians. I'm the guy that said Jesus of Nazareth is not the Messiah. And anybody who said that he was the Messiah, I would persecute them, have them put in prison, give my consent to have them put to death. I would even go to Damascus to do that, to other cities. And God has been gracious enough to save me, to speak to me and to call me. Show me that his son died to pay the price of my sins, the death that I owe for my sin. Paul, isn't my grace sufficient for you? And I think God could have stopped right there. I think God could have stopped right there, and Paul would have said, yeah, this infirmity that I have is no big deal. One thing is needed. I think Paul got it right there. And he says, I've still got the one thing and let's keep moving on. But God didn't stop there. And I'm glad that he didn't stop there. Not only for Paul's sake, but for your and my sake. Because he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. When people are weak, when people have infirmities, when people have trouble in their life, when people are struggling in their life, maybe it's a physical struggle, maybe it's an emotional struggle, maybe it's a financial struggle, but they are clearly up against trouble in their life, and yet they are faithful to God. They continue to revere God and keep His commandments and to glorify Him in spite of all of these troubles. People can look to them and say, there must be something to following Christ. There must be something to Christianity. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I think that's what he's saying here. If I must boast, I will boast of the things which concern my infirmity. God's power is seen in me. God's power is greater than my infirmity. God is with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 13, he said it this way, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why not? Could God control us with fear? Yeah. Yeah, you get people afraid and you can control them. But God does not control us with fear. God invites us to follow Him with love. His love. Be very alert when people start telling you to be afraid. Because they are trying to control you. Make no mistake about it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. God has saved us. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. We didn't do anything to constrain God to save us. God was not compelled by anything we have done to save us. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but is now revealed. It has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. I'm in prison. I've got a thorn in the flesh. When He said, I also suffer these things, do you think He was suffering? Shake your head this way. Yeah. Yeah, He meant that. But He was strong. He was courageous. His faith wasn't wavering. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Timothy, don't be ashamed of me and where I am and what I'm going through. You be faithful. You be faithful, because I'm still faithful. You continue in the things that you've taught, and God has taught us and given us in His Word. We know that we are going to receive our inheritance. I am persuaded He will keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. I'm certain that the faithful have an eternal heavenly home. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he said, for we know, not we think, or it could be, or possibly, or I feel, no, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this body, is destroyed, would you be concerned about that? If your body was being destroyed, if somebody said, I'm going to kill you, would you be concerned about that? I think we would be. We said, I'm afraid I'm going to die from a virus that about 0.5% of people who all get it die. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. Okay, so we're going to die. Everybody's going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. I heard a fellow talking about, he had a houseboat. He described a houseboat as a house trailer on pontoons. Okay. And it was on a big lake someplace, and a tornado came through there. And the lake got to rocking, white caps on a lake, and inland. You know, when you get white caps on an inland lake, you've got problems if you're on that lake. And he says the houseboat started rocking and pitching, and it's hard to stand up. And he says, if it wasn't so serious, it would have been kind of fun, really, you know. And he says, and I'm looking out the window, and there's other boats that are getting flipped upside down. And he says, this is a serious situation here. Scared. And the tornado went on, and he was okay. He said, you know, after I realized I was okay, he said, if I would have known I would have been okay, I wouldn't have been so scared. And I thought, you know, that's kind of like us when we're in when we're troubled about many things and distracted. It's going to be okay. It might be scary, but it's going to be okay. Because it's going to be so much better when we're with God, where He is. In Philippians 3 and verses 20 and 21, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. A lot of people emphasize their citizenship today, and they did in that day. Paul used his Roman citizenship to his advantage and his defense. But he says, our real citizenship, as children of God, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. It's going to be so much better. I am certain of salvation. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul said, for this reason I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. He didn't say, I feel like I'm going to be saved. If you were to ask Paul, Paul, are you going to be saved? He wouldn't say, well, I hope so. You know, an empty kind of hope. That's not the kind. Do you hope you're going to be saved? Yeah, shake your head this way. But it's not an empty hope. It's a verified hope. It's a hope that's verified by the truth of the promises of God in His Word. I'm ready to give a defense for the reason of the hope that I have. It's not an empty hope. It's a verified hope. I know whom I have believed. And I'm confident of His promises. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8, he says, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who love His appearing. What I'm confident in, Paul says, you can be confident in. We have no reason to doubt God, to be uncertain. We have every reason to keep the one thing that is needed first and foremost in our life. Life itself is uncertain. James 4 and verse 14, you know not what will be tomorrow. When Jesus reasoned with us about things that we worry about, basically he says, you don't even know what to worry about. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't even know how bad it's going to be tomorrow. You think it's bad now? It's going to get worse. Read the last part of Revelation chapter 20. When Satan is loosed on the earth to deceive the nations, it's going to get bad. If it's not already happening for Christians, surround the camp of the saints. But he's not going to destroy the camp of the saints. Jesus is going to return at that moment. But we're going to be thinking, what is going on? Has God departed from us? No, He's still with us. You know not what will be tomorrow. But you can face the uncertainties and the challenges of today and tomorrow with confidence if you are in Christ and He is in you. If you have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 23, he says, if you'll keep my commandments, my Father and I will abide in you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. To the church at Smyrna, he said, you be faithful even to death. Don't be so concerned about dying. I will give you a crown of life. Uncertain times in which Christians can be certain and always be certain that one thing is needed. Cling to it, hold on to it, don't let anything distract you from letting go of it. But be faithful to God and glorify Him. Love Him. Keep His commandments. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. You'll be separated from me eternally. Except you repent. Except you turn around. Turn from your sin. Turn from your ways to walk in my way of righteousness that glorifies my Father. You will perish. Not you might, or you could, you will. But if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Rise to walk in newness of life with Him. He said to those who believed on Him, abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from your fears, free from your concerns, free from the cares of this life, free to live in the presence of God. If you're here tonight and you're ready to obey the gospel, we're ready to assist you in that. If you're here tonight as a child of God, out of favor with Him, you need to make things right with Him. James 5 and verse 16 tells us to confess our faults to one another. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're in need of anything tonight, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
When we walk with the